Those are the Federation bells we're hearing, which was a sonic interactive performance designed by Jeff Robinson during the Bogon Centre for Sound Cultures Festival, Phantasmagoria. I'm Leanne McLean, and I was one of the lucky ones to attend the Phantasmagoria Festival 2 weeks ago in Bogong Village. And whilst visiting this gorgeous place and immersing myself in the environmental elements and sounds, I met Berlin radio sound artist Gabby Schaffner, whose work was so beautiful and intriguing, I asked if we could share it on 3CR for our listeners. So on the final day of her Australian creative tour, Gabby headed into 3CR Studios and shared her story.
Yeah, I'm a Berlin-based artist, and a couple of years ago I got interested in going to Australia, and I found this open call by the Bogong Centre for Sound Cultures. So they were asking for a resident, and I applied. And I went there for 2 weeks around the residency, and at that time I was working on a piece which is called Hidden Places. So this was about experiences of people in the wilderness. And I paired it up in between like Australia and Iceland, because the same year I'd been to Iceland. But that at the same time, Madeleine Cornish, who's one of the curators of Bogong Centre for Sound Cultures, she started already talking about the upcoming big plan of creating a sound artist festival for 2017, Phantasmagoria. And this name, Phantasmagoria, was sort of taking hold in my brain. And also, I was walking around on the landscape, and there were all these waves of transformers and the rush of the water and the wind and all this wavy stuff sort of, I think, influenced me, and so I came up with a story of electric fairy grounds, which I proposed for this festival and which was accepted.
And so what is it that your piece actually entails in terms of the technology that you're using?
Well, I'm a low-tech person, so it does involve field recording, a lot of field recording, but the art piece, so to say, itself is basically radio art. So that means it's a radio play I sort of cooked together with interviews I made with the former inhabitants of that village, because Bogong Village is situated in the Alpine District. It's close to Mount Beauty on the way to Falls Creek. And it used to be a village where workers and the families lived, of those people who were building Junction Dam in the 40s. So basically it's also the history of the Kiewa Electric Hydro Scheme. So I made interviews with some lovely old ladies and gentlemen who used to live in that village or work in that village, be it as like going to school there or like doing some work as duty manager or other technical related work. And then I put a radio play on top of this, which is set in the 50s. So it's a combination actually of fact and of documentary stuff and fictional stuff, and it's a fairy tale sort of put on top of the documentary narratives. So it's put in three chapters. Each chapter has its own transmitter station hidden in a birdhouse, and the idea is also to take up this idea of a dreaming in just like drawing on the idea that you have to walk the land in order to experience your history. Yeah, and listen. So if you take a radio with you and you tune it to 100 megahertz, you'll be able to pick it up, like, depending on the quality of your radio, really, like from like 50 meters from the thing, then it becomes stronger, the narrative, and then it loses itself again in the forest, but then you might come eventually to the second station, so you can pick up on the second chapter.
And it's a walk around the dam.
It's a walk around Lake Guy. Mm-hmm. It starts at the tennis courts and goes to the Erie tree, and then it ends, the last chapter is just behind the dam wall.
And how long is the festival going for, and can people listen?
It's going until the 30th of April. It's always on the weekend from 12 to 8, if I'm not wrong. It has been organized by Madeleine Cornish and Philip Simatsis, who is presently teaching here in the sound department of the RMIT University. So, and basically, yeah, you can walk around there, and there's, I think, more than a dozen artworks situated in the landscape, so you can experience the land, the weather, the scape, and, of course, the audio art, sound art. There's video works, so there's a number of really diverse works that all refer to the village of Bogong and the history of the region.
And you took some recordings as well of Jeff Robinson's bells.
Yeah, I did, because, I did various recordings, I must say, extremely random ones. As I was collecting, to put together my own show in Berlin on the Phantasmagoria, but it's sort of not so representative as its random choice. Jeff did a one-off. So that was, he had two dozens, three dozens of brass handbells he borrowed from a museum.
Yeah, they're the Federation bells.
Yeah, the Federation bells.
Yeah.
And then he gave them to people, and then we walked around the lake and were swinging these, what do you call it? Swing the bells? No.
Mm. We were just swinging them, and they... Yeah. Just chimed every 3 seconds or so.
Yeah, right. So, and that was, I like that idea of this having this sound raising up from the path around the lake. And also probably from afar you would have had something an imaginary sound caravan. You know, so there's several ideas which I found interesting with that concept, as simple as it is, but it's very, it just works.
And also just meditative as well, the actual act of doing it, walking and swinging the bell and listening to the...
Yeah, so, but basically, all artworks are very interesting and responsive to the site. There's also a website which gives information on the Bogong, on the Phantasmagoria exhibition. And
yeah, it's bogongsound.com.au. Yeah, so it's still going for another week or so on the weekend. And we both encourage, I've been up there as well last week, we both encourage people to go there. There's accommodation as well in the village, because it's a little old electricity village with beautiful kind of little old houses from the 40s, I suppose, 30s.
Yeah.
It's easy to stay up there. It's near Mount Beauty. It's about 15 minutes from Mount Beauty, and it's an incredible place and beautiful, beautiful environment around there. And you'll also be able to listen and see a lot of these sound art pieces that are situated around the village and the lake there.
Yeah, it's well worth going, and I think it's very singular that you have a festival of that sort of size in sound art. So I think it really needs more guests and more people who just flock there and enjoy the landscape and the art, because audio art is a very important part of contemporary art.
Mm. And so we're going to be listening to one part of Gabby's piece, Electric Fairy Grounds, and also some of Jeff Robinson's bells. But also, Gabby, where can people find your work? Have you got a website, blog or something?
Yes, I do lo-fi stuff. My website is called rawaudio.de.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you some stuff. And I also have a garden radio station, and that goes by the name of Dacha Radio, .de.
And what can you just quickly tell us a little bit about the Garden radio station?
Yeah, it was a collaborative project with Berlin artist station Reboot FM. And I had the garden, they had the radio. And then we sort of thought we'd just put together 1 week of 724 radio art in the garden. So we put up the radio station, like a little pirate radio station, directly in the winter garden of my garden house, hut, whatever. And then we had invited artists and started an open call to invite over other art, radio artists to sort of contribute field recordings. And it's like also the main point, actually, of Dacha Radio is that it takes the garden as a matrix for, like, organization, growth, community in terms of art, but also in terms of being with, like, living with diversity. It's like biodiversity, but also radio biodiversity.
Mm.
And it's all sort of more or less spelled out on dacharadio.de.
How do you spell that?
D-A-T-S-C-H-A, mm-hmm. radio.
Okay.
So dacha is an old Russian term for a summer house in the country. And because my garden is situated in the former eastern part of Berlin, it was also used by the sort of ex-GDR citizens as to, they say dacha or dacha, so both signifies just a summer house somewhere where you can be on your own, enjoy your family or your drinks or whatever, your barbecue or your radio.
Electric Fairy Grounds, Part 1, by the Tennis Courts.
Very fond memories of just the whole village and everything that happened there.
Everybody knew everybody, everybody cared for everybody. Everybody knew the policeman, and yet he didn't pull any punches, not that he really needed to.
One teacher for the whole school, all in one room, but great memories of school. It was just lovely. And anything that happened in the village, if it was somebody's birthday, the whole town came. We actually had picture theatre twice a week. They used to have pictures on Saturdays and Wednesday evenings, so everybody went to that, and it was just a really nice atmosphere where everybody participated in everything.
So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true for me and you.
From the UK, that was the fabulous Cliff Richard and the Shadows and their number one song, Summer Holiday, on Alpine Radio 3AR in the heart of the High Country. This is Randy Gordon, and here comes the weather report for the 27th of February 1956. It's going to be cloudy today, it's going to be a little bit humid, and the prospect of an upcoming thunderstorm this afternoon.
For me and you.
Hey, let's go and see if we can find some lyrebirds. Dad said they're out by the tennis court.
Yeah, let's go.
So I went to school. There were about 26 children there when I went there. I thought it was the centre of the world. It was a beautiful place. Everything you wanted was there. We had a big, massive big hall down near the shop, down near the lake. And we had Christmas parties there and movies twice a week. We played tennis every weekend. Kids used to play with the adults. And it was, I suppose, or sporting. Because there's a lot else you can do there as far as sport goes. Like you could, now you walk and cycle and...
Where did he say? By the gum tree. Just a couple of yards from the riverbank, he said. Psst, keep quiet. It's boring just to wait.
My mum and dad both played tennis, so we spent weekends down at the tennis courts. That was probably the biggest social hub of the town for daytime things, because we had our own fire brigade up there in those days, and my dad was in the fire brigade, so you went to everything that they did on a, you know, it was just lovely.
They were just dirt courts at the time, but a beautiful big tennis house, which should never have been pulled down. The new one's nowhere near as nice, and had a brick wall at the back so that you could practice on it.
How do you like our new teacher?
Don't know. He is sure nice, and he's an artist too. He wants to take photographs with us in the garden.
He didn't ask me.
Because you're a boy, girls look prettier. That's better for art.
Phew.
The school teacher that I remember was called Mr. Wingrave, and he was a bit of a budding photographer. So at different times, if we had a... I can remember we had a Sunday school down in the hall. We did a play and we were all dressed up in our Sunday best. He would take some of us, and I know I went a few times, into the gardens, into the flowers, the rhododendrons and things like that, and he'd take photos of us. I have one that I found in my mum's things just recently when I was going through them. I had a lemon dress with a full skirt. I had a little hat on. I had gloves. I had a little bag. And, yeah, I looked at that and thought, I can remember feeling like $1 million because I was dressed in my best clothes and I was one of the ones he wanted to take a photo of.
Ah, see? Something's moving there.
What is it? It's not a bird.
Got wings, though.
It's a moth, Melinda! A giant moth!
Do you think it's dangerous? Can it sting?
Moths don't sting, silly. Mum says they've been all over the place once, but now they're rare.
We used to swim up near the tennis courts. A lot of the time there was an area where they'd sort of built a little bit of a rock wall and there was a little bit of a pool in there, and we would swim there more often than not, like the whole family would go down and go swimming.
And that's weird too. They're supposed to hide in the daytime in caves.
Maybe it's looking for its cave. Maybe there's a treasure in this cave too. See how the wings are glittering?
You've got ideas.
We should try and catch it and bring it back to school.
Catch it with what? Our hands? They're fragile.
Here's my scarf. Now you go and catch it.
I won't.
Then I will. I'm sure it's a special one.
Too late, too late. It's flying away.
You scared it. That's your fault. Quickly, I can see it on the lake bar. There across the road by the boulder.
I want to go home.
She was just a really good family woman. She used to sit up at 1 o'clock at night sewing our clothes, and she was too busy during the day to sew, so she made them. So yeah, she was a very caring mother. So yes, we had a dog. And
the only bonus Mum found with going to Bogong was we had an inside toilet. The house we were in Melbourne still had the outside toilet down the backyard.
Probably I'd just go for walks with the dog, play with the dog.
You're just like my nanny. She also always wants to go home, and she's afraid of the lake walk.
I am not afraid!
But that was the one thing we weren't allowed to do when we were children. On our own, we weren't allowed to go around, and I probably went a few times with an organised group from the school, but yeah, that was something I knew I wasn't allowed to do.
Oh, see? It's flying further and further. Come on then.
On this tree.
That's a sound.
That's a weird sound.
I want to go home now.
No, wait. See our moth? It's the biggest. It's a king moth. A king bogong moth.
Because there's a spot when I walk the other direction, I feel quite fearful. I don't know, uncertain, or there's something bothers me, and I then look over my, I feel panicky, and I have to look over my shoulder to see if anyone's behind me. I thought it was the sound of the water, but no, it wasn't. It's actually, there's a big tree that's fallen on the path and it's been sawed. It's actually there.
It's almost getting dark. We're late. And see, there are lightnings all over the sky and the village. Yes, but listen to the sound.
Don't want to. There are voices in there. Voices.
Anybody that did.
Don't touch it, Melinda. Don't. Don't touch it. It's electric. It's glowing. It's got flames on the borders of its wings.
Do you smile to tempt a lover? Mona Lisa, or is this your way to hide a broken heart?
We interrupt our program on 3AR for an emergency call reaching us from the telephone operator in Bogong Village. Two children, Melinda Gray and Simon O'Donnell, are reported lost. According to the mother, Anne Gray, Melinda didn't return home from school, neither did her neighbour's son, Simon. A small case belonging to Simon was found next to the riverbank by the tennis courts. Children are aged 9 and 10. Melinda wears a blue dress, green and yellow scarf, brown hair, braids, blue eyes. Simon is dressed in brown pants, wears a blue shirt and a black tie. Hair colour is blonde and his eyes are blue. Fire brigade from Mount Beauty is on its way. The men of Bogong Village just started to search the forest around the tennis courts and along the lake paths. If you happen to see the kids, report immediately to the police.
Ah, ouch! Melinda? Hey?
Back then, in 1956, the only way you could phone anybody that worked in the SEC was through the telephone exchange.
We all had telephones in our houses, and I can even remember the number of ours, W226, and it was an exchange.
So they had an exchange that worked 24 hours, so they did like three shifts.
Just opposite the, down the road from the school.
It's a bit darker there, I'm not too sure, but I just felt like I had to keep moving. I wonder if it's even the tree. It would have been an old gum that's fallen.
It's more of a, how can I say it? I don't know what name it is, but usually it's a snow tree, right? Where for this tree itself, it will live a long time. It'll live a long life. A gum tree, that won't live as long because this stronger tree, it's got more strength in its roots.
Melinda? Hey? Melinda?
They're nature. They're part of nature. God brought him into the world to have nature, not to kill or hunt an animal. We're here for a purpose, and so is the emu.
What happened, Simon? I feel weird.
Oh, Melinda! You fell down there, and then the tree shook, and then there was blue lights everywhere.
And the moths are gone.
We should be gone too. I want to go back home.
I also had a drink.
What's that in your hand?
A key. A silver key.
A silver key? You didn't have that all the time, did you?
No. The moth gave it to me in my dream. I now remember. There was a moth. And then there was a huge fern, and then a platypus. But the fern was not a fern, but a fern witch wearing a wig. And that was the fern. You know, all the ferns here are disguised witches, and their ambassadors are the Bogong moths. And they know everything about the land and the air and the river and the dam.
You are crazy, Melinda.
No, I am not. Now, I know this is the key to the treasure hidden in the cave by the dam.
You sure are crazy. It's electric thing burn your brain. Gosh, it's getting dark now.
I don't care. So, we can only go forward to the dam. And I will tell you what the moth told me in my dream.
As long as we get away from here, okay.
I just have so many fond memories, like walking down under the wall, the dam wall, things like that. That's where we played back in those days. That was our backyard, sort of, which was, yeah, a whole group of us would just go down there and play. And we were never considered to be doing anything wrong, or we weren't really getting into any trouble. It wasn't much, we couldn't do any damage, but that was like where we played.
I'm not sure. I think I can smell smoke. You know, maybe this blue light started a fire. Dad said once electricity makes sparks spring out of empty, empty air.
I've seen a lot of fires, and I've seen people get killed nearly. I was one of them. Years ago, when I was 10, my dad and me were up on the farm. We're checking the sheep. We come across this bird, and I looked at it and said, there's a bird out there, Dad, because I was only 10, knowing what it was. It was one of them birds with a big beak on it, the woogie by beak. Now, lightning, it was lightning hanging around that day, actually. This was going back in the 85, 84. And I probably would have been about 10 to 9 years old. And the lightning went strike on the light on the power line. And it killed him in an instant, cooked him, fried him completely. He fell to the ground and started a grass fire in front of us. So we had to run back to the house, grab the hessian bags, wet them, and put the fire out because there was a fire there, and there was a fire over there. There were three fires going at once, and little fires. We both got them all three out and just in time because the wind kept changing. One fire, because all the fire was raising with it, it was the fire off the chip of the wood of the grass was in the air and it was going to the grass. Because the wind was pushing it down, it was pushing up, it was twisting, turning, up and down the wind. And had a fire there, we had a fire there, and we had a fire there. And then one went behind us. I thought, what are we going to do that? You work on that one, I'll work on this one. So we worked together and we got them out, the whole four fires. We saved the country from burning.
I worked in the forestry in the bush because I had to be 21 to get a job, and that was good.
Gravel, very rough road. The village was the same. In matter of fact, they took a lot of the gravel from the tunnel to surface the roads, and a lot of that had nails in it.
There was no tractor, no roads. They had to build the roads by hand with dozers and bulldozers. They put a lot of roads and bridges in. We had 200 mile of fire trucks to get access for bushfires.
Because men were working around, you know, putting things up and down, and it'd get spilt, and then it got picked up by machinery and dumped on the roads. And my father offered us kids a halfpenny per nail could we find one, because he was sick of repairing his tyres. And to this day, if there's a nail on the road, I'll spot it.
You know, the moss also told me how the colour green came into this world, because there was no green in the beginning, and the fern witches had a fight from the most beautiful wig, and then the platypus came and ended that fight. A mighty magic platypus that was. And used a green spell, and all the wigs had the same colour, and now they look like totally ordinary ferns. But they're not.
I think you're either crazy or still dreaming.
As I am sure not crazy, I must be dreaming. And you are in that dream too. And this key is. And I tell you what, the Moth King told me, if you turn the key, the dreaming will end. I don't quite understand this bit.
Melinda, I have no clue either. Where a key is, there's a lock. My dad says so, and he is always right.
I know now. Inside the dam, there must be the lock. The king must said so.
In actual fact, the dam didn't seem quite as close then because everything is bigger when you're young. But I noticed from the top bench down to the tennis courts, we used to walk down there, down the little track near the school and then round the road and down. Now when you look over the edge, it's all clear. It's only, you could throw a stone down there with a good strong arm. So, yes, as things get sort of opened up, and it is much clearer, it's not as pretty as it used to be. The forest is all opened up. But the trees are in their own way, but the undergrowth has been removed in a lot of... Well, there was a fire there, let's face it. It ran straight up that spur. And so you can see right down there, and you realise how small the place really is.
You've had a walk through the dam. It is nice to stop in it under the dam wall and scream your head off, and the echo is fantastic.
Here we are! This is so huge!
It's a brooding place.
It looks like a giant animal.
Yes, with an open door in its belly and many windows.
Let's hurry up, Melinda. I only want to go back to the village. There are clouds coming up behind those gum trees.
I just love it. I've been there at night. quite dark, and I feel safe and at ease.
It'll sure start raining in a bit.
Hey, listen. The animal's got lots of echoes in its belly.
Don't, Melinda!
Can't you hear? There's a voice singing from inside.
A witch!
Possibly, but witches sing witch songs. And this is not a witch song. Quickly, let's rush inside and look for the door and find the treasure and take it back to Bogon.
Mary, Mary,
I can see her. There she sits in front of the door at the far end.
It's the chamber where that the water trickles. I just love it. I just love those chambers, walking back and forward, hearing the different sounds.
She looks strange.
You know, I often sit on the ground.
Weird clothes.
I just, and dirty.
Like a man.
So I often get myself quite dirty when I'm there.
Oh, right. And she is somehow disappearing. Oh.
She's gone. See? It was a witch. Only witches can disappear in air.
Look, look! There is the Moth King again. It is fluttering towards the blue door. The treasure must be in there. I was right, Simon. All the time.
Cautious, Melinda. Please.
Begin the Begin with the fabulous Artie Shaw and his orchestra. This is Randy Gordon on 3AR with the weather report and some good news for today. The good news first for the listeners, the two children, Simon and Melinda, reported missing from Bogong Village, were found this morning in a chamber of Junction Dam where they evidently took shelter from the rainstorms following an unusual discharge of electric energy on the northern bank of Lake Guy. The village gardener, Marty Smith, discovered the children sleeping in a maintenance room, supposed to be locked at all times. He also reported a moth of extraordinary size present in the chamber, which escaped as he opened the door. Both kids are in good health and have been turned over to their happy and blissful parents. Praise the Lord for this. And now the weather report for the region of Alpine. On this day, February 28th of 1950, it's going to be warm and sunny with a maximum temperature of a beautiful 71.6 degrees of Fahrenheit today. And there's been an unusual sighting of a Bogong moth swarm near a Bright.
Our ruddy hydro scheme. I took my seat in a train one day, and the bloke what's next to me folds up his blooming paper and puts it on his knee. I could see what he'd been reading, and I thought I'd put him wise. It was about our ruddy hydro scheme, and half of it was lies. What's a hydro scheme? I could see he didn't know, so ups and tells him all about this Kiwa Bogong show. For hydro skiing, I says, you need a lot of ands, a con, cooks, and orderlies, blueprints, and lots of plans. You need a few survivors with assistance of some kind to roam the hills and knock in pegs.
And became the security manager of the whole of the area, which was my responsibility.
Some civil engineers to muck about with plans. You need a lot of office staff.
It's my responsibility to maintain the security of the whole of the hydro scheme.
You need a lot of transport to run the boys about. And quite a lot of motor cars for the Eds when they go out.
To about 22, 23 cleaners and cleaning staff.
To get a license for your pub to see the boys behave themselves and don't play that game too up. For a hydroelectric scheme, I says...
3 days a week, Saturdays and Sundays, and all public holidays.
One thing I near forgot. You need a river and some hills.
Electric Fairy Grounds by Gabby Schaffner. Part 1, by the tennis courts. Part 2, by the tree. Part 3, by the dam. If you want to hear more of Gabby Schaffner's radio play, I highly recommend that you head up the Hume to Bogong Village for the final weekend of the Phantasmagoria Festival. It's finishing on Sunday, April the 30th. And finally, for information about the Bogong Centre for Sound and the wonderful sound artists that have been involved in the festival, check out bogongsound.com.au.